Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show. Brian is out today. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez. New York City public spaces have been smoke-free zones for more than a decade now. But soon, hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers won't be able to smoke in their private residences as well. Yesterday, the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development announced a smoking ban in all subsidized public housing nationwide, a decision New York City Housing Authority supports and has pushed for since 2009. In many parts of the country, smoking is already banned in public housing, but the federal mandate will have the most significant impact in New York City because we have the largest public housing system in the country. So listeners, especially those of you who live in public housing, we'll open up the phones to get your take on this. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. First, we'll talk to WNYC's urban policy reporter, Cindy Rodriguez. Thank you so much for being here.
Sure.
And Cindy worked on this story when the smoking ban was first proposed just over a year ago. So, Cindy, we're talking about cigarettes, cigars, pipes, hookahs. How about vaping or electronic cigarettes?
Yeah, so Secretary Castro was asked that question, and he said those are not included. And I guess because this prohibition is on tobacco products, it's not included. And I have to plead a little bit of ignorance. I don't exactly know how the e-cigarette works.
Mm-hmm. And many people might say, well, that's an intrusion, right, on my rights. I'm a tenant. I pay rent. I don't have any problems with the law. Why is the federal government stopping me from doing something that I enjoy, like smoking?
So, you know, like you said at the beginning, this was first proposed a year ago in November. And after it was proposed, there was a time period for people to respond and put in their comments and their questions and concerns, whether that was individual public housing authorities or whether that was the residents themselves. And so this issue came up a lot in that comment period. And I guess what HUD is saying is that they're doing this because there's going to be a huge public health benefit. So fewer people are going to get sick. And also it's going to cut down on their maintenance cost, damage from cleaning up apartments when a smoker moves out, also reduce fires and make it safer for people. So that's what they say about why they're doing it. Now, they also say that the courts have found that smoke-free policies don't violate the Equal Protection Clause because there's no fundamental right to smoke. And in addition, they also say that smokers are not a protected subclass under anti-discrimination laws and that they're not prohibiting their residents from smoking. They're just saying that their residents can't smoke inside their apartments.
We're talking about all kinds of subsidized public housing nationwide. Are we also talking about if I live in a building and I get Section 8, am I also impacted by this policy?
You know, it doesn't seem like the Section 8 tenants are. There was a small clause in there that said mixed financing wasn't affected. So I believe that it's only in public housing buildings that are strictly just public housing authority buildings.
And the first thing that I thought when I read about this was, so who is going to police this? Is the housing authority going to come knocking on my door to see if I'm smoking and then they're going to affect me if they caught me smoking?
Right. So, well, first I should just give people a sense of how big the public housing authority is. So there's 328 developments and there's more than 400,000 residents. So it's pretty large. And like you said, it's the largest in the country. So, yes, there has been this question about how can you possibly enforce a rule in a place this large? And so the answer is that the authorities, it's up to the individual authorities on how they want to do this. So all I can say, NYCHA has not said how they will enforce. But I can say that there's 600 housing authorities that have already done this in at least one of their buildings. And so, like, take Boston. Boston is one of those where the entire public housing authority there is smoke-free. Mm-hmm. So, I was just going to say that mm-hmm. so their policy is – the way that they've enforced it is that they do have regular apartment inspections. And then on top of that, they they warn people, and then the warning steps up to a fine. And then after a fine, it could be an eviction because this is supposed to be a violation of a lease. So basically what's going to happen is that this clause is going to be put into people's leases. So either as an amendment, so they would just come in and sign it, or like in their annual lease renewal. So that means that you could evict someone.
So basically they will come in and they'll come into my apartment for an inspection, and they'll be like, well, it smells like you were enjoying a Cuban cigar, so we're going to impose a fine on you. Is that how it works?
I mean, like I said, the New York City Housing Authority hasn't said exactly how it works. But I guess in Boston, something like that. I guess there is also in the explanation of this federal rule, there was also a description of how maybe there would be a formal way for tenants to sort of complain if they believe that their neighbors are violating this rule.
And the city of New York is happy with this nationwide ban, correct?
NYCHA has just basically responded by saying we are going to do our best to include mm-hmm. our residents in putting forward this smoke-free policy. And they talked about how they've started to try to promote cessation. So they've, they're getting money from the American – I mean, they're not getting money from – they have a grant, and it's being used for things like the American Lung Association is coming in and teaching some of their residents how to run these groups for people who want to stop smoking, things like that.
And we're going to hear from some callers in a few seconds. And I'm sure many people living in public housing might be thinking, well, the city, instead of policing who is smoking or not in my public housing complex, maybe they should put all those resources on making sure there's no crime or there are no problems, or I get the repairs and the repairs I need in my apartment done for so long. They should be focusing on that instead of trying to go door to door trying to find out if someone's smoking.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's very true that this is an unfunded, what some would call an unfunded mandate. They're not getting any extra money to enforce this. They're telling housing authorities that they can use what they get for their capital costs or for their operating subsidies. And we know that in New York City, the housing authority is really strapped for cash. So, yeah, that is a legitimate concern.
We're going to hear from Christine. She is in Harlem. Christine, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Yes, good morning to you and your speaker. This is a very important conversation, and I think people who are listening and who do not live in housing, both the pros and the cons, who may feel they like it or don't like it, do not really understand it, how horrible and systemic this problem is. Housing is poorly run. Most people, housing has such a bad reputation that they don't understand. The issue is not about smoking and having rights. Every human being have rights. But when your right infringes upon somebody else's mm-hmm. rights, that's the problem.
So, Christine, you live in public housing right now?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Are you happy with the smoking ban?
I am very happy because I had wrote to the previous mayor requesting for some type of intervention on this. Because when you step into public housing, what we have is a drug problem. We're not talking about, if people had the decency to respect each other as neighbors— and, you know, smoke a cigarette in your apartment. Yes, you're an adult. You should be able to smoke in your apartment. But when adults behave like children and they always need somebody to manage them, well, then let us all be managed. If mm-hmm. that is how we have no respect for one another, we're talking about drugs. You have no idea if you have never lived in housing and you don't have family that live in housing, you don't want to know what housing smells like. Mm-hmm. You have 10 floors on an apartment with no ventilation. You have food scent, you have drug smell. It smells ridiculous.
Thank you.
It's terrible. And when right. you're talking about people smoking drugs, we're not the problem. You see, when we talk about smoking, I don't know why they wasn't being honest and say exactly when they say they're banning smoking. It was about the drug problem of smoking stuff. I mean, you smell some stench coming out of people's apartment, and it permeates the entire hallway. And
Thank you very much.
It ends up in your apartment. I don't smoke. Why am I in my apartment supposed to be smelling drugs when I'm not smoking drugs?
We get the picture. And that might be also like a problem, because maybe if they come into my apartment and they feel that there's some smell, right, some cigar or some cigarette smell, it might be coming from the apartment next door. So it's going to be really hard to police this.
Yeah, it is. Although I would say that like this caller you know, the people that we've talked to that live in public housing, a lot of them do feel very similarly, that there's people with a lot of health problems and that the smoke is just exacerbating that. And mm-hmm. I think the statistics that HUD was giving was that, you know, almost half of families are seniors, and there's also a large percentage of children in public housing and people with disabilities. So those are all pretty susceptible groups.
Right. We're going to hear from Amy in Manhattan. Amy, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hello, thank you. I'm glad to hear that there's going to be funding for help for people to stop smoking, because it needs to be acknowledged that it's an addiction. You can't just say you have to stop and expect mm-hmm. people will be able to. And I also want to say for anybody who wants to quit smoking, I've edited studies on quit smoking programs, and the two things I would like to be able to tell every smoker are that you have a better chance of quitting if you work for a doctor, and I'm not sure what kind of access people in public housing have for that, and that most smokers have to try five or more times before they can quit for good, so don't give up on quitting.
All right. Thank you so much, Amy. Is there any real help, like the city is going to help those who want to quit? They already do, correct?
Right. So, yeah, let me just correct that just to make it clear that HUD is not providing any funding for cessation. But the city has said, NYCHA has said that it received a grant, like a Healthy Homes grant, and I guess some of that money will go towards cessation in public housing.
Right, because we know, though, that under Mayor Bloomberg, the city would help you or would provide some patches or some way to help you quit, correct?
Right, exactly. That's citywide.
Citywide.
Right, and of course, public housing residents would have access to that.
But that municipal aid will continue. It's right now continuing with everybody.
I believe that's correct. Yeah, I believe that's correct. And I just wanted to also say that in 2012, NYCHA did this survey to try to get a hold on who smokes in their development. So they surveyed about 1,200 residents, and 24% of them said that at least one member of their household was a smoker. And more than 34% said that they had a child with asthma or another respiratory problem.
Interesting. Carol in Marine Park in Brooklyn. Carol, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you very much. I don't smoke. I did many years ago, but I'm definitely against this. It's another example of the nanny state, and I think people's civil liberties are just being chipped away one by one. What if I cooked cabbage and you didn't like the smells that I made from my cooking
cabbage? Well, but
Carol,
you would acknowledge that the cabbage smell is not going to impact negatively on my health if I'm your neighbor, correct?
No, it's not. But they can do other things. They can fumigate every once in a while. Look, I stayed at a hotel, a first-rate hotel, in another city over Thanksgiving. I was there for 3 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed a little sign in the room. If we find evidence that you were smoking here, we will add $300 to your bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
How
so,
would they know that it was me who was smoking? Maybe
right.
It was one of their employees.
But do you live in public housing, Carol?
No, I do not.
Right. Does your building in Brooklyn have any kinds of restrictions on smoking or otherwise?
I live in a building that I am the property owner.
Right.
But that's not the point. You know, don't ask me these questions about me personally. I'm talking about our civil liberties. And as far as I'm concerned, smoking is still legal. When
mm-hmm.
they make it illegal, like drugs, the other woman is talking all about drugs. She didn't mention the word tobacco at all.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco is legal. People should have the right to smoke in their apartment.
Point taken.
And if the doors aren't thick enough to keep out the odor, then get thicker doors.
Point taken, Carol. I guess many people in the city cannot afford maybe like thicker walls or doors to avoid that smoke from coming into their apartment.
Right. And I guess HUD would probably say that they're not saying you can't smoke. You can smoke, just not inside the apartment.
Right.
There's also this question of, you know, the ban is with you can't smoke within 25 feet of the building, but housing authorities can actually extend it further than that. They could
right.
make the whole development smoke-free if they wanted, so they have the discretion to do that. We just don't know yet what NYCHA is going to do. They could also create, spaces where smokers could go to smoke.
Right. Mark in Brooklyn. Mark, I think you live in public housing, so tell us what you think about this ban.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's going to cause a lot of problems with the police because, like the lady just said, the policy requires that people stand 25 feet away from the building. And I know that the police, when they patrol these areas, sometimes they stand on the rooftop with binoculars looking for violations, people urinating, drinking, and they can use that as a pretext to stop people. How do you know if you're 25 feet or 22 feet away from the building or 18 feet away from the building? I think that this is going to give the police an opportunity to do stop and frisk because if they catch you with an open container, well, first of all, will this be a summons? Will the NYPD issue summonses? Because I was stopped. I received a summons for smoking a cigarette in a park a couple of years ago. It was about a couple of months after the new law went in, if you're not allowed to smoke in a public park. And the cop saw the cigarettes, and he was watching for a while to see if I was going to light it up. As soon as I lit it up, he runs over to me and requests my ID. And the problem with that is I happen to have my ID on me, but if you don't have your identification on you, they take you to the police station. You can sit in a holding cell till they do an FBI fingerprint background check and all that. So this is going to cause real bad blood with the housing community because the police are going to use this as an opportunity. If they see a tough guy, they're
right.
just going to wait back and see if he lights up a cigarette so they can bum rush him. And it's really going to cause a problem. I agree that smoking
okay.
is bad, that children secondhand smoke is bad, but
point
that,
taken.
I don't know how this is going to work.
Point taken. We're going to hear now from Joe in Jersey City. And Joe, you also live in public housing. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I live in a public housing. But I was going to ask how they're going to stop that. Because when they're going to come for inspection, they give 1 or 2 weeks notice. And the people open the windows and everything is nice and beautiful. All right? But it's not just a cigarette. It's marijuana smell, too. I don't smoke nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But that marijuana smell my clothes and my hair, everything, my pillow, my mattress, everything's a mess here, you know. But I don't want to say too much because the people are listening to the same station. They know that's me, you know, and then they go against me. You cannot even say a word to them.
So basically, Joe, you're happy with this ban.
I am very happy with it, but how are they going to stop it? How are they going to find out?
Mm-hmm.
It takes years to find out somebody is smoking a cigarette in their apartment. You know, because nobody's going to say nothing. Nobody say anything here. Mm-hmm. The mouth is tight, the lips closed, you know.
Right. Thank you very much, Joe. So I guess that's the big question, how are they going to implement this?
Yeah, and that's still, we don't have any solid answers to it quite yet. I guess I would say that in the housing authorities that have already put it forward, you know, the Council of Large Public Housing Authorities, which sort of has a lot of different members all across the country, says that so far there hasn't been any significant pushback. They haven't really said exactly how the enforcement has been working out. And I just wanted to say from the previous caller that this isn't so this violation is not a criminal violation. So the police shouldn't be able to stop you.
But do you think that the fear is justified?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I can understand what he's saying.
Right.
But it is not supposed to be a criminal violation.
Right. Do you think that this ban, like you said, has been imposed by this HUD secretary, Julian Castro? Do you think that the policy might change with the new administration coming in January?
So Secretary Castro was asked that question, and so it could. So a Trump administration could reverse it. Secretary Castro said that he felt like the public health benefit would be so great that it would stay.
Cindy Rodriguez, she is WNYC's urban policy reporter. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.